I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, Nick Friedell in 15 minutes. We do want to do some Warrior stuff. One more call on this, though. Mike in San Jose. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. What you got?
How's it going, fellas? So me and a couple guys at work, we're talking, and we understand that when the Rams played last week, when it didn't really mean anything against the Falcons, they still trotted out their first string, and they played that game like they were playing to win, and they lost to the Falcons. Now, fast forward to us this week, we play the Seattle Seahawks. Hey, it was a tough game. They played their starters. We played our starters. We didn't come out on top. We lost the game. Why aren't the Rams getting judged by that loss when they played their starters against them? And it was a meaningless game. I get it. But they played all their starters. They still lost the game. Why are the Niners being ripped up like this after one game against Seattle?
You want?
I understand.
Oh, go ahead,
Seattle
Mike. Yeah.
Beat them convincingly, but that doesn't hold water to me and my buddies. We feel like the Niners are being judged a little differently in this situation when we know damn well the next game the Niners see, if they do see the Seahawks again, it ain't going to be that way. It ain't gonna boil down like it just did. Shanahan's got some plays.
Mike, you want my real answer? Because I got a real straight answer for you as to why it doesn't sound the same. Because I think you're on to something, and here's why it doesn't, I don't think it sound the same. Matt Stafford and Sean McVay have won a Super Bowl. That's it. There's two things in the NFL right now that will get people off your back. One, win a Super Bowl, or two, win the fans a Super Bowl. So if Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson win you your fantasy league, they are off limits. And if you win a Super Bowl, you are off limits. Notice the world's not really doing a Jalen Hurts thing this year. They might be in Philly because this is the most angry group of people I've ever met in my darn life, and they're mad about everything all the time.
Check our social media feed with the collage of middle fingers.
Exactly, and thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. But I don't hear, the world doesn't do this whole... I mean, Jalen Hurts has two angry receivers, does not have good numbers.
Yep. The running back is having a recovery year.
The defense outplayed the offense this year.
And the center retired, and they've had a bunch of injuries on their O-line and D-line.
Right, but nobody's like, I'm not sure about Jalen Hurts because he's now minted. He's covered in all of that armor because he won a Super Bowl last year.
The green mint, no doubt.
I think it's a silly metric, and I know that bothers people because the Super Bowl is the thing. That's the thing that we're all going for. But here's how I would say it. I don't think if you win one, that automatically means you're just amazeballs all the time. And if you haven't won one, that automatically means you're not amazeballs. That's not the way I look at it.
It's
that's
not
all.
The way it is, especially this year where you and I could draft Super Bowl matchups. And maybe we can do this later in the week with all the different permutations. Maybe we wait till next week when you're down to eight teams. It's a little bit more straightforward, but... I would guarantee you that your number one pick on who versus whom and my number one who versus whom, they're not going to get there because this year is wide open. And I think it's the nature of it. And I'm just looking at the Rams season. You lose to Carolina, you had three turnovers, they had none. You lose to Atlanta, you had three turnovers, they had none. Let's just boil all this down to the reality of what football is when all these teams are kind of similar. You turn it over, you lose. They don't turn it over, they win.
This is going to be, and boy, get ready to fade.
Oh, God.
This is going to be one of the hardest playoffs to predict, I think, that I can remember.
Fade.
I've got four picks in, and the four picks that I've made, 4-0. Call my message phone. I got four locks, and those four are going to win.
Fade.
The other two I'm not sure about.
Fade.
When you say 4-0, you mean that if we go against you, we'll go 4-0, right?
Fade.
Fade.
Anyway.
I don't like Mark Grandy, but I respect him.
Well, fade.
You'll like him more because you're
going to... Four was unnecessary.
You're going to turn your hate to me in just a second.
Oh, boy.
Because not only do I want to fade your picks, I want to fade your take. from last night. And I know
you want to fade my second profession is what you want to fade.
I hate referee dibs.
Am I muted on your Twitter right now?
Are you muted on my
Twitter? Can you see my tweets?
For now.
Okay, because
Instagram, for sure, you're muted.
No, I know Instagram, we bother you, but on Twitter.
No, you don't bother me.
No, we do.
We do. You're right. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, but on Twitter, where I don't put pictures of me and my wife out to dinner.
And I love your wife.
Yeah, I know you do.
And I love you, too.
I know you do, but we
bother
you.
But enough is enough.
Yeah.
Yes. Jennifer Lopez starred in a movie called Enough.
What are we supposed to? We can't take pictures of things that we're not doing. Like, what do you
want? It's Wednesday night. Look at us. Happy as ever.
Very rarely happens on a Wednesday. But yes, very happy on a Wednesday. We are over the hump.
And I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Just keep it out my feed. But anyway, I know you hate referee dibs. And I was listening.
I really hate referee
dibs. I heard that
dibs.
Drop in my head all night last
night. Listen, here's why I'm asking. I feel your tweet was in response to my tweet.
And what you probably
did. Fair or foul? Just yes or no?
Not in response, but there's a reason why I turned the replies off in my tweet, which I never do.
And actually, I sent the text before the tweet. The tweet I sent about, and this is all about, for those of you who've watched, if you watched the Warrior game last night, this goaltending crap was one of the more infuriating things I've ever watched in sports because it did not need to be the way that it was. And part of it is not even the ref's fault because they are totally at a loss to review something that should be reviewable, and I get that. I understand that. But the first thing I did was I texted you. I texted our whole thread. Here, let me pull it up. I want to read to everybody what I said because I was freaking hot.
Yeah, you were.
I want to know why you don't get hot in situations like that. You're a Warrior fan.
Right.
Why does that not bother you?
Couple reasons. One, it's 1 in 82. Two, I understand the nature of what happened, and I see that the problem is not only with the three officials, and I watched the replay earlier, and all three officials are looking at the play, and one of the three could have seen that it was a clear-cut goaltend. My issue is more with the construct of review. If it's in the last 2 minutes, we review it. If it's called a goaltend, we review it. If it's a clear-cut goaltend that's not called, we don't review it. So we'll put that aside. Blown call, yes. It was one possession out of 100 and whatever. It bothers me, not as much as you. And then when Steve Kerr goes ballistic, I get you. You can react, but that's an automatic two-tech adios.
I understand. But, like, again, if we take that to real life, we don't. That's not how we do life. If you go in let's say you go sit down at a restaurant with your family, okay? And Myla, and let's go back a couple years where she was a little bit, like, less controllable. She's in a high chair, and she's grabbing French fries, and she's throwing them at the server. Forget French fries. She grabs ketchup, throws it at the server.
Were you there that night?
And the server's got ketchup now all over themselves. It's in her hair.
Right.
Okay? And you look at the server and you go, you don't think the server's going to get pissed? The server's not going to get pissed.
Right. Who's going to do that? But I'm playing along with it.
Play along with it because this is what you're basically asking. You're asking human beings whose entire life and professional career is dedicated to these moments. We're in a very emotional industry. This is professional sports. It's an emotional industry. You cannot screw up to that level and ask everyone around you to just stay calm. You can't do that. And I acknowledge their hands are a bit tied. In two forms. A, it's not reviewable. That's stupid.
Yep.
B, when the coach runs at you, what are you supposed to do? You sort of have to throw them out of the game.
Yep.
But the scenario that sets up, which is we screw up, you get mad, now we punish you even further, and we take our mistake and double and triple down on it and ruin a basketball game. And then at the end of all of it, we're supposed to be like, well, if you had just made more shots, why do I have to beat the Clippers by six? I only should have to beat the Clippers by one. You gave them 5 points. We lost by one.
Well, they didn't give them five
points. Yes, they did.
Steve Kerr's demonstrative behavior is automatic tech worthy. That's why they got two free
throws.
And
understandable and largely.
But not mandatory.
But cause,
he didn't have to do that.
No, but it. But again, asking human beings to be beyond what I think most human beings
Steve
are.
Steve Kerr's reaction was not about a single goaltend on a single possession on a Monday night.
No, it was because
that was
they were
about,
screwing things
that
up
was
before
about
that, too.
Draymond Green yelling at him.
Oh, I disagree.
Draymond Green getting ejected all the time. Jonathan Kuminga not playing. You being mediocre. Steph Curry starting to see a little bit of a demise. You're in your last year of your deal. And this is all me projecting. But that outburst was not about one call. There was the call that Steph Curry should have got an and one. No,
yep.
He shouldn't have because when you're outside the key and you're not in a shooting motion, that is a foul on the floor.
But the whistle came late.
I get it, Mark.
So
I understand it. But again, Steve Kerr, it's not in his job description to go ahead and lose his Schmidt. He did that because he's frustrated over a lot of different things. And so he was the one who compounded bad and made it worse.
Okay. I find that to be unfair. Because, A, you are projecting, and maybe those things are true, but those things were true.
Things don't matter. That matters is that he had to be physically restrained. It doesn't. The other stuff is just me projecting.
That's an opinion. You don't
my
know
opinion
that,
doesn't matter.
Well, of course it does.
All that matters
is
that.
We're doing a radio show. You're allowed to talk.
Well, here's my opinion. My opinion is the referee makes a call. It's a bad one. He may not know that in the moment, and he sees a coach who's being physically restrained and yelling profanities at him.
So,
that's an easy uno dos adios.
I understand that. But again, while you're saying this is about all the things going on with the Warriors, those things were all true in the first quarter. Steve didn't show up pissed off.
And that's my projection. Doesn't even matter.
Those things were all true in all of the games over the last 2 weeks.
Right.
He's not charging at the official in all of the games.
And I can't get inside his head as to why he chose to do that now.
There was a series of calls that were at minimum mildly frustrating.
Right.
Then followed by a call that's inexcusable.
Well, it's just a blown call. It's a blown
dibs.
Call.
Certain ones are worse than others.
That was a bad one, yeah.
That was absurd.
It was. It was absurd.
And then when you basically poke a bear and the bear comes charging at you, then you further penalize. It's wrong.
It's like
flat
you get
out
pulled over
wrong.
And the cop comes to your window and you decide, when he asks for license and registration, you decide to throw it at the police officer and say, F you, CHP, that's five letters. And the CHP says, step out of the vehicle. So now your behavior has prompted a certain reaction from the authority.
I don't like the comp because this would be more like
you have my daughter throwing ketchup on a waiter.
Yeah, well, this would be like the authority kicking the person in the shin first and then getting mad that they reacted.
No, the authority pulled them over for, you know, probably something that they didn't do.
Grandy's losing his mind.
I'm trying to get virality in here.
We're sponsored by CalSheet, trade on anything. No, you're defending the officiating triumvirate again.
I'm explaining to you what actually goes on.
I don't need to be explained to. I it's wrong. It needs to be addressed. Nick Friedell joins us next on Willard and Dibbs.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Drives in, feeds Payton another way. No, it's goaltended by Collins. No call! And here comes Dunn the other way. Dunn stops, dribbles in, lost the ball, and they call a foul there. Steve Kerr is all the way out to midcourt on Brian Forte and has gotten teed up. Brian Forte gives him a little sarcastic little tee and has ejected Steve Kerr. Well, the Warriors didn't agree with the and one or lack thereof on Steph Curry. And now two technicals on Steve Kerr and he's been ejected with 7:57 to go.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh boy, what a sequence. What a game. Tough loss down there in Los Angeles. It is Willard and Dibbs. Willard back momentarily. He's on assignment. But in the meantime, we bring in our dear friend, Cousin Nick, who is at the center of everything Warriors. My man, Nick Friedel, what's going on, brother?
Mr. Dibs, I've seen lots of crazy stuff with the most interesting team in basketball, but that was as pissed off as I have seen Steve Kerr in a while. And guys, you know, I think the comparison was, remember that preseason years ago, I want to say maybe 18, where he was out there and going, I don't want to be here. I don't even want to be here. That was the time I've seen him that heated, at least outwardly. So it was quite an event last night in L.A. About 100 levels and layers we can get into. So let's do it.
Well, I wonder if you'd sort of weigh in on this, Nick, because Dibs and we like to do this on this show. We like to argue about refs because when they mess up, I'll call it out, and then Dibs will defend it, and then rinse, repeat. And so Dibs kind of made the comment that when Steve loses his mind like that, it's about more than just those calls. When you see that, do you believe that that was largely about the calls that we saw last night? Or were we also seeing a little bit of a window into how Steve is just feeling as a coach in general right now?
I don't think there's any question when you have the expectations that the Warriors did to start the year, Mark, and they just haven't played that well. I mean, they are just a supremely mediocre team as we speak and have been all year. There's no doubt that the frustration builds up over time. I will say in watching him, at least last night, I mean, he was so frustrated at the way they were playing. I should say at the way they were playing, because they just could not make any kind of shot, open shot, anything. That Steve was bench at times. I mean, usually he's up and moving around. He was so mad at everything going on that he was just sitting there trying to collect himself. And then as the refs started to miss a few calls and that happened, I think it all boiled over. My sense last night was he was so upset about those calls that it spilled out. But to what you guys are saying, there's no doubt. When a team isn't having success, the person everybody will look to first is the coach. And Steve's had an unbelievable amount of success through the years. But I think he sees what everybody else sees. They're just not consistent. They can't find what they need night to night to get out of the mediocrity that they're in. And absolutely, he's frustrated about it.
And you look at last night and, you know, Steph was unable to get the shot going and not a lot of other offensive help from behind the line. Draymond Green goes 0-for-6. Is this just a case where this is kind of going to be the team that we're looking at? Buddy's not playing. Kuminga is not getting minutes, even though he wasn't listed with an injury. Are we kind of just sunk in a spot where, no matter what happens with a Kuminga trade, this is largely going to be the product that we see?
Dibs, the answer to that question is yes. And I have been trying to scream it from the rooftops the last few weeks here, but anybody who thinks that January 15th or the deadline, that some miracle trade is going to come in, I just don't see it. Guys, I mean, look at the options. Again, people don't want to hear it. A lot of the fan base, I don't think, understands it, but they're hard capped. Can they make a move? Sure. You know, there are moves to be made, but you got to match up the salaries. So are you better off if Jeremy Grant or Drew Holiday is on this team and Kuminga is not? If that's a direction that Mike Dunleavy wants to go with Joe Cronin in Portland, I guess so. But are you going to move? And Dibs, this goes to your point, from where they're at right now in mediocre land to some different place. I don't see it. I think they're better than what they've shown to this point, in that when you look at the numbers defensively, they've still been pretty solid. They just cannot generate enough consistent offense. But I know how much frustration there is within this fan base. I see it on Twitter every single day at Kerr, where I would caution everybody to just kind of take a deep breath. Look at the roster. The roster just does not have the talent that it needs. Al Horford was like 1 for 8 last night. They were banking on him to be a real difference maker this year. He's been hurt, and he's been ineffective. Draymond just has not played up to the level that he set for himself. He was better last night, but, I mean, Dibs, you said it. When he's missing all those threes, there's a reason they're giving him all those threes. I think Jimmy is still a very good player, but he's not the same high-level player every single night that we saw even a couple years ago. This roster and the talent on it is flawed. And we haven't even talked about Moody, Pods, Kuminga. They just haven't taken a step. So there's blame all over the place for the way they've landed in the place that they've gotten into. But at the core, they're just not good enough. And that is a reality that I don't think a lot of at least the diehards out there want to accept right now, because they see Steph at the level that he's at, and they want to believe that there's something more out there.
We're hanging out on the River Islands guest line right now with our buddy Nick Friedel, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. All right, let's whittle it down from macro to micro then, Nick, because I think everybody's with you. Is there a magic trade that's going to suddenly make this team the four seed? Maybe not, but let's go piece by piece. And I want to start by asking it to you this way. When the Thunder are here last Friday night, because you know that this was thrown around on social media everywhere, the Thunder here on Friday night, the Warriors sit their top players. Steve Kerr goes in front of the media, says, "This is an opportunity for Kuminga to play, ... take a breath, and then here comes, oh, Kuminga's got back soreness, and he doesn't play." Is anything going on there? Are the Warriors and Kuminga right now both incentivized for him to not play? Or do we take those reports at face value?
The whole thing was weird, Mark. I can only speak for myself personally. I'm sitting there, and you're asking Kerr, "All right, well, when did Kuminga get hurt?" And he's like, "It popped up before the game." And I said, "Well, do you think it's going to linger?" And he's like, I don't know. So are they both incentivized? To your question, at this point, it's like, why run him back out there? Everybody sees the writing on the wall. The divorce has been imminent for weeks at this point. I think on a professional level, though, I think Jonathan's decision, and he's the only one who can speak for himself. Was he really hurt? What was really going on? We'll continue to ask him. But I think it rubbed people within the organization the wrong way, because they didn't have those guys out there. They wanted him to get the minutes. I mean, Kerr was open about it. He said, "This is." I think he was on with Bonte and Evan that day. He said, "Yeah," and they said, "Is Kuminga going to play?" And he's like, "Yeah, this is the time right for him to play." And then he doesn't play, and you're kind of sitting there going, "Okay." You're watching this relationship come to a close. But at least for me, as somebody who's covered the league, I feel like there's a professional responsibility. Now, if Jonathan's hurt, he's hurt. And only he knows the answer to that. And he hasn't really wanted to talk, you know, in the last week or so, understandably, with all the other stuff going on. But, Mark, specific to your question in that game, I think that was like the end. Because if you're sitting there and you have the head coach saying, "Hey, he's going to play. That we're going to put him out there. He's going to play however he's going to play." And then he doesn't play. It's like, just bring this thing to a close, because it is over.
Okay, you say this is the end. Are you saying Jonathan has played his last minute with the Warriors?
I wouldn't go that far, just because you never know what happens injury-wise. I think the Warriors would absolutely put him back into a game over the next couple of weeks as they wait to figure out what's going on. I do not think, as we sit here right now, it's some situation, Mark, where they're just going to completely ice him and say, "No, nah, like, he there's no chance between now and February 5th, 6th, that he's going to play again. I wouldn't say that. I do think that we're entering into a phase where Kuminga is at the end of his Warriors run. And it will be better for everyone involved whenever that deal happens. What I'm curious about is, I know in talking to people within the organization, even a few weeks ago, it was, we're not just going to deal him to move him. It's not just going to be like, all right, well, this thing has gotten so bad that we're going to make this deal and it's going to be over with. I'm curious to see what happens in the next couple of weeks, though, because if everyone acknowledges it's time for it to end, are the Warriors in that front office more incentivized to say, oh, okay, fine, you know, let's just take the best offer we can get and move forward? Or would they try to play hardball with other teams and say, we're not just going to give up this 23-year-old talented young player who others believe certainly still has more to prove in the league? So that part is fascinating. But absolutely, if you were asking me, do you think the deal gets made before the deadline? Absolutely, right now, I do.
And I thought it was interesting, Nick, last night that he was just listed as DNP, not as somebody who was injured. So it was just a classic DNP CD. We had asked Steve Kerr before about Jonathan being a part of the stay ready crew. And Kerr said, no, he's not really going to do that. And then you look at Guy last night, who didn't play at all, Guy Santos, and then stay ready fourth quarter. He jumps up and plays really well in the fourth. Is that just another sign of where this whole thing is heading?
Yes. Because if Steve Kerr thought that Jonathan Kuminga could help the Warriors win, Dibs, he'd be out there. I mean, I can't repeat that fact enough. If Kerr and that coaching staff thought that Kuminga could help them win games, he would be out there. Kerr would try anybody right now to get out of the funk that this team is in. Guy Santos is the perfect example. You know, he plays for a few minutes. He helps change the tenor of that game. It's why Kerr loves him so much, because he knows he can go to him at any point and he will be ready to roll. And I think everybody has tried to put on a happier face with this situation. But again, Mark, this goes back to what we were saying a couple minutes ago. When Kuminga had the chance and then didn't play, it was kind of like, okay, fine. That's it. But no matter what side of this you're on, you believe Kuminga should play more. You believe that the Warriors have been right and they just missed another first-round pick. If Kerr thought he could help them, then he would play. He's not playing because Steve Kerr believes he has better options on that bench.
We're talking right now with Odyssey Sports NBA Insider and our good friend Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I'm going to do a big old no-no here, Nick. We hate two-part questions.
Oh, boy.
We do. We hate two-part questions, but I trust you to be able to give an answer to both. Here it is. Do you believe that Steph Curry gets officiated differently than other stars around the league? Second part is, if you do, why? Why is it that way?
Yes, I do think he gets a different whistle, Mark. And the second part is, I think that Steph is still so small in comparison to the other greats of the game that it's like officials just, they don't view him the same way. I don't know why that is, but I've covered this team a long time in two separate time frames. And absolutely, I don't think for a player of Steph's caliber, he gets the whistle that he should. I don't think there's any question of that for anybody who's watching. But to try and figure out the second part of the question, it doesn't make sense. There's not a strong answer that everybody would believe in. But when you watch and you see some of the things that happen, you're just like, I don't know. And I'd say this about Steph. I think the difference is he's never struck me as a flopper. You know, he might stick his leg out right. Sometimes like other great jump shooters of the past, and I think he's guilty of that at times. But he's not a guy who just flops all over the floor looking for calls. But at least in my opinion, in my experience, absolutely, he doesn't get the same kind of whistle of the elite stars in the game.
Now, maybe someday. I mean, maybe year 18 will be the time when he actually catches a break. And, Nick, you know I'm a big-time ref defender, and part of it is because I don't know what they're supposed to do, but I look at the association. Fouls are up. Free throw attempts are up. What's the fix for what ails the league, which we all see it. None of us want to see all the fouls and all the free throws.
Mr. Dibbs, it's a good question that I don't have the answer for and the league doesn't. And it's a real problem when you are trying to sell the intensity and the intrigue of the regular season. It's just not there. I mean, guys, I cannot stress this part enough, and I feel like I say it every few weeks, but if we were not talking about the Warriors and the soap opera that always continues and is always just creating content all over the place, I don't know why the regular fan is clicking into an NBA regular season game night to night. Now, I don't think that's all on the officiating, Dibs, to what you're saying. I think the officiating has had its problems, but I think you could always go through and say, man, there are a whole lot of blown calls. Just feel like we see it more because the cameras are so good and people are locked in a different way than they follow the game now. But I think the much broader issue is when you're calling all these fouls and the games are choppy and you don't have stars like Steph Curry to watch and look out for night to night, I just don't think the NBA as a product is in a really good place moving forward in the future. Now, people will kind of just roll their eyes and go, oh, yeah, they got all these billions of dollars coming. That's all well and good. I'm talking about the day-to-day consumers, the day-to-day fans that are going to flip on your game after work and look up at the bar and attempt to be locked into what's going on. I don't think the product, regular season-wise, is in a good place. And I think the officiating and the lack of consistency with the calls is absolutely a part of that.
I don't want to know what Steph Curry thinks or what Steve Kerr thinks. I want to know what Nick Friedell thinks. Are the Warriors a better team right now when Draymond Green is not on the floor?
Not on the floor is too strong, Mark. The Warriors are a better team with Draymond in more limited minutes. Because if you take Draymond completely off the floor, I think they can be absolutely they're better offensively, but what Draymond still brings at a very high level is defensive effort in games where he is all the way locked in, where he sees a personal challenge. I think the group responds to that. It resonates for everybody. So I understand where you're going, and I understand, again, where portions of the fan base are. Oh, well, they're just better without Draymond. I see it. But I'm not willing to go to the next step and say, all right, that's just the way it's got to be. Draymond is best for this group in smaller doses than what we've seen. The offense just does not look very good with any consistency when he's out there and he's kind of at the center of things. There is a reason, guys, as anyone who is watching or listening to our friend Tim Roy, there's a reason why when you're watching these games, they give Draymond like 5 feet of space. I mean, we saw it in the first quarter last night in L.A. They're daring him to shoot. Shoot the three, Draymond. They just are daring him. And he's doing it, and it's not going in. But he still takes them to a different level defensively. The problem, though, and Mark, this is a much broader point to the entire conversation. The Warriors were built for March and April, in theory. Like, hey, get us to the end. We still have Steph, we still have Jimmy, and Draymond can get everybody revved up, and Horford will be there, and we'll be ready to roll. The problem, as we all know, is they keep playing like this, they're going to end up in the play-in, and then more than likely, they're going to end up playing OKC or Denver. And if they play them in that first round, that's it. I mean, that's a wrap. The season's over. So I know that fans are frustrated. I get it. I just don't think the fix is to move Draymond for what I'm not even sure what you get at this point as far as making your team better. And two, I don't know what the fix is coming up on this deadline. I think you can get solid players that can help you more than Kuminga, who's giving you nothing right now. But I don't think you're going to find a player who is going to take them from where they are right now to where they wanted to be to start the season.
Nick, we will talk to you a week from today, and that day will be 2 days before JK Day. So I want you to buckle up, because that is going to be a very intense conversation.
I can't wait. And guys, I would only remind you that this team, for all its flaws and ups and downs, remains the most fascinating thing the NBA has. And I was reminded of it last night as all hell is breaking loose. This team is endlessly interesting. And it's not always going to be like this. And I know fans want to see wins. I get it. But for what we do, there isn't anything like the Warriors right now.
That's fair. That's fair. Nick, great to have you, man, as always. Thank you.
You got it. See you guys.
Okay. That's Nick Friedell, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Okay, John Feliciano is going to join us in 20 minutes. Let's hippity-hop. We'll react a little bit to that, but let's hippity-hop back to the 49ers on a playoff week, because there's another thing to kind of introduce that we haven't yet, which is it suddenly feels like most 49er fans we're talking to do not believe they can win this game. And I think we'd love to the best of our ability, kind of get a little straw poll going here. Simply, is there a belief that the 49ers, yay, they made the playoffs, but can they win? And not all of them, just Sunday. Let's explore that a little bit. Call right now, 888-957-9570. Did Saturday make you think the Niners have no chance this Sunday? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls. Feliciano in 20 minutes. Willard and Dibs.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from the Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs. And you know, as much as I love Willard, I'm more of a Dibs guy. So if you want to do what I do, go check in on Dibs and say hi to him. Get in the YouTube chat. Do it right now on 95.7 The Game.
We'll see. Maybe I'll use this microphone for that endeavor later in the week if we're having problems.
All right.
I don't want to abuse it.
That would be narrowcasting. We try to broadcast, but I'll allow it.
I mean,
it's a big deal.
No, I'm just asking for a favor. I need a favor, but not yet.
Okay.
I might need a favor. And sometimes, right, I'm told that there are like a lot of people who listen to the station.
Right.
So if we say it to a lot of people, maybe somebody will be able to help.
Can I share a favor that I recently did for one of our brothers here at 95.7 The
Game?
Please. A good friend of ours was in need of a closer, and he reached out to me. His name is Joe Shasky.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Giants. They need one too, but go ahead.
Well, this closer is much more effective, and it's R&S Garage Doors. Mm-hmm. Joe was having a little issue with his garage door, and he was in need of a closer. We're trying to send this to the client, but that's all right. We'll edit it in post.
What a freaking legendary game!
Shithead!
A bunch of garbage men and plumbers!
R&S Garage Doors!
Oh, God.
So we reached out, and I put him in touch with Doug, who is my closer, mm-hmm. and Doug and the great people at R&S Garage Doors came through and helped out Joe Shasky. So if you out there are having trouble with your garage door and you're in need of a closer, R&S Garage Doors! R&S Garage Doors!
I love you!
Yeah, I love you too, Joe. He reached out. I helped him. I did him a solid. I didn't do him a solid. I put him in touch with Doug, who did him a solid. And so, yeah, problem solved. Kaboo.
And cut that. Okay, good job. Yeah,
a lot of cuts in there.
Great.
Anyway, I mean, you talk about favors and
yeah,
people helping people.
I'm in need of a favor.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. We got time. We got some people already working on it. And if you're out there, you know who you are.
And honestly, it's around or surrounding the 49er game. That's a part of the puzzle.
Parenthetically, yes.
And honestly, why are you even watching it? Like, why bother? They're the second biggest underdog on the board.
That was a really nice transition.
Thank you.
That was super elite.
Thank you.
That was a good job.
Because it's a Sunday favor, and you're going to be watching the Niner game, and you're going to need a little help side defense after the game. And you had me thinking, like, why even bother watching it? They're not going to win. You're just setting yourself up for misery. They're 4.5-point dogs, second biggest dog on the board.
Actually had to lean into something that my lovely Christy said. I can't remember, either late yesterday or earlier today. I can't remember. Normally, of the two, and this won't surprise you, I'm the one who's like, they could win. And she'll be like, they're not going to win.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Well,
that's the so
on a scale of 1 to 10 in positivity, you're like a 9.6, and she's like an 8.9.
Yeah, she's up there.
Also
she's
super
positive. She's up there, but she also... She very much will call it like she'll see it. She is not. She does not live in Brockistan. She'll troll me right in the middle of a game. She's like, not that good.
Does she live in Kittleville?
No. She's not like that. She's just like, she doesn't like his hair. But anyway, she doesn't like people with long hair.
Yeah.
She doesn't want people flipping their hair after they make, you know, it's just like, whatever. But my point is.
The stringy, greasy flip back. Not a turn on.
That's Claire's style, not my wife's. But anyway, I say that because yesterday we're talking about, like, we always love to plan out the playoffs. Yep. Like, do we want to have
Party Willard?
Right. Do we want to have the people over? What do we want to do? And you kind of made the comment of, like, well, let's do X this weekend. And then if they win, we could do that next weekend. And she's like, there might be only one game, but maybe there'll be more. And I was kind of like, probably only going to be one game. And she wrote Any Given Sunday.
Nice. It's a good movie.
It is. It's a good movie. She likes that movie. Any Given Sunday. And I'm like, you know what? Damn it. Damn it. She's completely right. And I'm wondering what day this week is it going to be when we all get there. My belief is that as we get past Wednesday, playoff fever is going to get into our bellies. Right now, we're in that tweener spot. Monday is for anger. Tuesday is for some sort of still bleed over anger, but we're going to start moving toward acceptance.
Yep.
Wednesday is your middle ground. Some of you will be there. Some of you won't.
That's bargaining.
That's right.
If they can just get Trent back and if Ricky can play,
there you go.
Then ..
We're going to get a practice report. We're going to get to know, is his name Zamir White? Who's the linebacker they signed today?
Sounds about right.
Something. There's a Z in it. Anyway, you get my point.
It's not Wallow may start.
Might.
Yep.
He might. Eric Kendricks. Okay. Whatever. What? What did you want to say, Lucas?
Zamir White was the starting running back for the Raiders.
There you go. I knew it wasn't right, but there's a Z in it, right? Who's the guy?
Kaiser White.
Yeah, Kaiser. Okay, there you go. Kaiser White.
Not close. Kaiser Sose, which it'd be cool if he could play linebacker.
He was.
Hard hitter.
He was intimidating.
Yep.
Anyway, point is that'll be tomorrow. And then on Thursday, I do believe that most Niner fans are going to go, you know what? We're in the playoffs. Playoffs? Yeah.
You got a puncher's chance.
Like, yes, that team. The team that lost Fred and Nick and lots of Brock and lots of George and lots of Ricky and a little bit of Trent.
Michael and the whole thing,
And then Michael and now Bethune. Like, that team went 12-5. That team that we begged and hoped at the halfway point would actually just get into the playoffs somehow, it did. It did. And let's go play a football game and we will be excited. We're not fully there yet. But of course she's right. We've learned this lesson over and over. I don't know why we think that we can come out of a week of football and think we know what the next one's going to look like. It never works. You've lost 7 games in a row.
Whoa. Don't make this about me. We're having a football conversation. Yes, I've lost 7 in a row. Fade the Dibber coming up on Friday.
We got no clue what the hell this is going to look like, even though we think we do. We don't. We don't. So that's my current take on that. We're not at X's and O's yet.
No. We're at the emotions of it. And unfortunately, Saturday is still too fresh in our mind. And, you know, Brock played great. He scored 3 points. And the defense, bend but don't break. Well, they went for it for fourth down from the 4, and they missed 2 field goals. So, yeah, you gave up 13, but it could have easily been 22, and it might have been 26. And, yeah, so the freshness of the disappointment and the reality of going to Philadelphia and all of the thoughts and memories of Philly fan and that nauseating pit in your stomach over the last time you had a playoff game there, and Brock's arm fell off, and, you know, you had a fight between Big Dom and Dre Greenlaw, and just the smugness of Nick Sirianni as a head coach and all the rest of the stuff that's around Philadelphia. You booed Santa Claus. You cheered when Michael Irvin got hurt. Whatever all the memories are about this, I'm still kind of in dread mode of if you go out there and you lose and they advance and your season ends there again, that's the worst case scenario for me.
It's rough. And, you know, as much as Baldy said Brock played great, he also said Philadelphia is the worst matchup the Niners could have drawn. And maybe it will be. But do you know what I hear a lot over the last 2 days that I think is funny? Ooh, the Niners are going to get their doors blown off. When the hell have the Niners ever gotten their doors blown off?
Well, the Rams this year.
Was that doors blown off?
You were down 21-0. That to me was doors blown off.
Right, but then then you put up a fight and you got beat. Like, you clearly got beat.
Yeah.
I thought they clearly got beat Saturday. But
your doors weren't blown off to
really,
me.
Right? Is anybody like, yeah, the Niners are going to, like, it's the 31-3. Really? Is that, I don't think that.
The 31 I could see, but the 3... I don't see you only getting 3 points. I could see a 31-21. The defense is going to have to do something to get the ball, to take the ball away, because what Philly does is they get you into third and short, tushy-pushy, fourth and short, we're going to do it again.
But don't get it twisted. What Philly does is they don't do as well as they used to.
Right.
They do not do what they do as well as they used to do it. They don't. It's not a great offense.
No.
I don't know if you need to be a great offense to move the ball on the Niners right now.
Probably not.
You know? But, and they're a very, very good defense, but they're not Seattle.
They're not Houston.
They're not Houston.
They're not Denver.
Nope. Drop of the hat, Matt, in San Francisco. Hello, Matt. What are you doing?
Hey, you know, I'm just jobbing. How you guys doing?
Excellent, man.
Well, you know, I'm a firm believer in Shanahan and Brock, and the 49ers, if they're going to beat Philly, and it's not going to be defense, it's going to be Brock and Shanahan coming with a different game plan. I think they can't come with the same game plan because the Philadelphia is going to use the same blueprint that Seattle used. They got that front four. I think you got to – it's a copycat league, and Shanahan doesn't like to copy other coordinator, but – if you run extra tight ends out there to chip these defensive ends and get more checkdowns, then Brock will have other receivers. Because right now, he don't have no receivers. I mean, if you don't have Pearsall and Trent, he's not going to have nobody to throw the ball to, you know. So you got to come with something different. You got to control the game by winning on offense, because you're not going to win with defense. So I believe that they can win, but they gotta play like, when Brock came back to Philly and they put up 42, if we see that team offense, we have a chance to win. Otherwise, we're not going to win.
Matt, thanks. I'll tell you what I see on the whole Trent and Ricky thing. Sure, both of them are important. Would love to see both of them play. This is just my gut telling me that I feel like Trent is more likely to play than Ricky. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe both of them will play. I like Trent's chances based on what I've heard so far, but we're going to get more definitive on that starting tomorrow for sure. I know that we are conditioned right now after what we saw last week to be thinking about pass protection, to be thinking about separation of receivers and what Brock can do. I think the path for the 49ers to do well in this game is much more about the run game than the pass game. And that's kind of true for, hell, most NFL offenses, to be frank. But Philadelphia, you can run the ball on them. And the 49ers will have to run the ball on them. And if they are able to do that, and I believe that they can, then that is going to at least put them in the game. That will, that the run to open up the pass, which is Shanahan's favorite way to do it.
Yeah.
Go watch the Black Friday game of the Bears against the Eagles. They gashed them. You can run the ball on Philly. Their pass rush is nice, but you can run the ball on Philly if McCaffrey is able to get 4-plus yards a carry. I think the Niners can have action.
And Philly gives up 4.3 a carry, which is right in the middle of the league. And the Niners, you know, don't run it very well. They're 30th in the league. So it might actually be as simple as that, because you look at Philly's pass rush, and they don't blitz at all. They blitz about as much as the Niners blitz, which is to say about 15% of the time. So if Philly can do what Seattle did, pressure with four, then the 49ers are in a world of hurt.
Because, yep,
you know, that's where, if you don't have Pearsall at 100%, you're down to Jawan and DeMarcus and Kittle and McCaffrey out of the backfield. That's where a defense can tee off. But you mentioned it, the run defense for Philly is gettable. They're susceptible. Can the 49ers offensive line have a better game, have a game more like they did against Chicago and not like they did against Seattle?
Well, and you hope that it's a different offensive line. You hope it includes Trent Williams.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. I think that's a bigger deal than Ricky Pearsall.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everything you're talking about, which is not only running it, and you'll notice a lot of their run plays are, you know, Kittle on the left side with Trent, and then you send Juice over there in that little juicy motion, and now you've got Trent and George and Juice all running in front of Christian McCaffrey as we go strong left, and that is a lot of times that toss play that can be their best play.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.